everyone, and welcome back to the Traveling Principal Show. I am your host, Joe Clausey, where we navigate education one journey at a time. Folks, it's like the middle of the beginning, right, in the school year. And we're going to dive into something near and dear to every teacher's heart, which is lesson planning. But it's due to the fact of the timing of this episode. Because it's not just lesson planning, but it's lesson planning faster or smarter. And so it's eventually with a little less stress. So buckle up, because by the end of this episode, you're going to be ready to plan 2 weeks of lessons in about an hour. You heard me right. 1 hour. It's like meal prepping for your classroom, but with fewer carrots and more questions. Folks, thanks for listening to the Traveling Principal Show. Here we go. Okay, guys, so I'm going to give you 6 tips that are going to help you plan about 2 weeks worth of lessons in an hour. And then this way you can get some of your life back. And so we're going to start with the most important one. It's a bit of a like your theory of how you plan. It's backwards by design. And you'll often hear when somebody says backwards by design planning, they're also going to say start with the end in mind. Starting with the end in mind means, what do you want your students to learn? What is the ultimate goal that you are trying to teach them? Once you figure that out, you reverse engineer that into an open-ended question, and therefore answering that question will be the steps of your lesson plan. Using, of course, and we'll go back to this, my last point will be, and we'll use this throughout the workshop model lesson plan. So here's an example for you. If you're teaching the causes of the Civil War, start by deciding on what the key points your students need to understand are. So what are the key points, key causes of the Civil War? And then each one of them, you're going to phrase into your open-ended question and build your lessons backwards by trying to answer each of those questions from there. If you thought of 10 key causes to the Civil War, let's say, and each one of them was an open-ended question and took you a day or two to answer, you just thought of 3 weeks worth of possible daily lessons. See how easy that is? Just with backwards by design. And so starting with the end in mind is a little bit easier once you just practice it. But you know, it's something that you could try. I definitely think it'll work. Backwards by design, point one. So the second point that I have for you is using templates and saving your brain power because of that. So I hear a lot of teachers say they'll go on a teachers pay teachers. Awesome. Go nuts, right? But templates are your best friend wherever you get them from. GPT, Google, wherever, right? The best part is usually when you're looking for them online, at GPT or on Google, they're going to be free. Once you find one that you like, let's say for a graphic organizer, if you're trying to do the steps of writing an essay or whatever that may be, you know, it really is, even if you bought it once and you used it over and over again, if it was $5, you know, it's a cost of a cup of coffee. You know, you only drink the coffee once, but you'll buy it every day. This here is a template that you could use, you know, a million times, let's say for years. And so, you know, you grab a pre-built template that's already organized with the key components of objectives, materials, and activities, and you just fill in the details, kind of like a Mad Lib. By the time you're done, you'll have the lesson plan need satisfied with that template. Or if you use a bunch of different templates, let's say for class activities, participation activities, rubrics, etc., you know, it becomes easier to utilize them as your means and your formats to disseminate information. And so you could be thinking to yourself while you're planning, okay, I got this question I'm going to answer today. Tomorrow we're going to try to work on this. By the third day of this week, on Wednesday, let's say for the sake of this example, I'm going to need some sort of class activity. Oh yeah, you know what? I use this format for, you know, some sort of debate. And here we go, and I'll be able to use this rubric that goes along with it, and perfect, I'm going to use that, and universally, right? Like we're creating that routine. And so that's something that I definitely think you guys should try. Use these templates, find these templates once you get them, save them, and continuously use them. Okay, so point number three, batch planning. Okay, it's like Netflix binging of lesson planning. It's also one of my personal favorites because it's like, if you were sitting there to watch your favorite Netflix show, you're in for a bunch of hours, right? And it's awesome. But instead of just one more episode, it's just one more lesson plan. The goal here is to plan multiple lessons in one sitting. So how do you get yourself that hour? You're already in that, let's say you have a prep coming up, you don't have to cover a class, hopefully. And so you're in that zone. Why not keep going? If you're creating the first day's worth of a lesson plan, go right into the second. Maybe even think of what some focus questions could be for the second, third, and then the day after. Maybe start thinking about what an assessment could be. And that could really help you out here as well. Here's an example. If you've already figured out Monday's math lesson on fractions, take an additional 15 minutes to plan Tuesday and possibly Wednesday and so on. Before you know it, you've got your week kind of planned out because if you took an hour on Monday to plan out Tuesday and you thought about Wednesday and Thursday, by the time you take a look at, the next day's worth of stuff you just did, you'll be able to say, okay, well, I was on track. I can complete this lesson that I'm going to do tomorrow. And now I already have an idea of what I'm going to do the following day. So I'm going to expand on that a little bit. And what am I going to do the day after that? And now you start thinking in this batch planning mode, right? And so instead of just a singular lesson plan, when you're sitting down, you're like, okay, what am I going to do tomorrow? Maybe think, okay, what am I going to do tomorrow? And the next 2 days as well, with an idea for all three, right? And now you're kind of thinking in this batch planning mode. So I want to also take tip four and expand upon a major component within the workshop model lesson plan, which is the aim or focus questions. These focus questions are like your lesson's GPS. They keep you on track. They help you guide your students to where they need to go on a daily basis. But the great thing about these focus questions is they help you cut down on the fluff and focus on what's really important. And once you've got your questions lined up, you're halfway to a complete lesson, right? Here's an example. We're teaching ecosystems. Your focus might be something like how do living organisms depend on each other? That's your roadmap for the entire lesson. Suddenly, your lesson practically writes itself. I mean, like maybe not completely, but it definitely speeds up the process because, if you know how do living organisms depend upon each other, you're going to have to try to figure out how to answer that question. Doing so with what new information do they need to know to answer that question? How can they practice that information? How can we determine whether or not, as a class, everybody understood it, or groups or individuals understood it? And how am I going to know as a teacher that I did okay and that students, before they left, comprehended the actual focus question by maybe asking it or with some sort of exit strategy? So that really assists. Once you get good at these focus questions or aim questions, your lesson planning becomes so fast. Because you can think, all right, well, I'm working on this topic. Here's an open-ended question I got to do today. Here's the topic for tomorrow. Here's an awesome open-ended question that'll all oh, attached to that is going to be a great participation activity. And I already have the rubric that I saved from last year, and so on and so forth. You guys get into that routine, right, by really mastering the aim or focus question. Okay, so the fifth point that I have for you guys is an important one, and I kind of said it a little bit earlier with one of the previous points with regards to using templates. This is for using pre-made resources. Let's say you're trying to create a awesome classroom activity for something, and you're looking online for it, and you find it exactly what you're looking for. Take it, use it. Teachers pay teachers, etc. Fine. But if you want to do it, I think, in the smartest way, just go on to GPT. That's really all you need anymore. I'm a firm believer in the ability for AI to assist teachers in their lesson planning, in a way that you will not know unless you do. I have turned around the people who have totally shunned AI from the beginning. But why spend hours reinventing the wheel when the wheel has already been built, polished, and laminated and can be recreated in a way that none of us have even really thought about? Let's say you're teaching photosynthesis, and you can find complete lesson plans, activities, and even assessments online about photosynthesis. You can tweak them for your classroom, and suddenly, what you've taken hours in the past to have done is only 15 minutes. What are open-ended questions that are revolving around these topics? What are assessments? What are new mini lessons using a Socratic seminar? Like, honestly, doing that work with you is really what it is. And you have the wisdom of the internet at your fingertips, and I highly advise you to use it because your lesson planning goes so quickly when you do. All right, so last point, and I told you I was going to end with this one. If you wanted to get your planning done in 1 hour, about 2 weeks worth of planning, I usually would get about a month's worth in 45 minutes, at least 75% of an entire month's worth. It's really just kind of like pieces of a puzzle that you're plugging in as you go. Once you start to use the workshop model lesson plan, you guys, it is your lesson planning made easy. It is work smarter, not harder. It is reach all of your students organically with just this model in and itself. The key here is that once you get really good at following a consistent structure, you can repeat it for every lesson, making your planning routine faster and more efficient. Simple as that. It's like meal prepping, except instead of chopped vegetables, you're chopping downtime. With the workshop model, you break your lesson into predictable parts. With the starter, your focus questions, your mini lessons, your practical application, the whole class share out of some sort, and then an exit strategy. The beauty of this model is it's always the same basic structure, so you get good at crafting each piece. I've created resources that almost take a look at it in columns, and so you can just kind of fill them in. You can say, oh, I'll do this with this, with this, and then this whole class share out, and then we'll be able to do this exit strategy. I already have created my open-ended questions. I'm just trying to look for information, and I'm using AI when I'm doing it, and I'm creating weeks and weeks worth of lesson plans, you guys. Units. If you gave me an hour, I can create for you probably an entire science department's worth of curriculum for an entire year. It's just it's not even fun anymore. It's so easy. So think about using this workshop model lesson plan once you get really good at it, which isn't that hard because we've already talked about the importance of repeating a lot of these parts. You'll realize, you can plan 1 or 2 weeks worth of lessons in an hour, and using this, you're reaching so many kids. You're maximizing your efficiency as a teacher. And I really feel like this is one of the smartest ways to get your sanity back, especially as a new somebody new.